Welcome to CougarCast with Keith Schertz and Tosh McIntosh. CougarCast, covering BYU football and basketball. Email the show, cougarcast@gmail.com, and follow on Twitter at CougarCast. See what the guys have to say on Cougar Board. Find them at 4Mac and CougarCast. Go hard, go fast.
Okay, BYU comes off a victory against Middle Tennessee State. They finished the game 37-10. It's the second time they've ever won with five turnovers. My name is Keith Schertz, and I am here with the 2002 Daily Herald Utah County Name of the Year, Tosh McIntosh. And this week is a rivalry week. We are playing the Utah State University Aggies in Logan. Last time we went up to Logan, defeat for the Cougars. So we owe them up there, back up there in Cache Valley.
We're the underdog, too. It's the first time I can remember in my, I haven't looked this up, but in my lifetime, I can never remember being the underdog against Utah State.
So, right. So Vegas line has the Aggies favored by 6 in this game.
Yeah. And it's hard to argue with that. They are good, even though I'm, as usual, I'm pretty confident going into this game.
Yeah. Well, it's been really close. It took a miracle. It took the miracle of Riley Nelson and his hair and the deflected pass that went into Marcus Matthews.
Yeah.
And then last year, the weird 6-3 game. That was crazy. So it's been a really crazy, you know, few years playing against Utah State. I even go back to the last time. So last time we went up there, we lost. But the time before, we went up and we were just smoking them, if you remember. And then Utah State like picked up a little momentum.
And their crowd started chanting overrated as they were still getting their butts kicked.
And they lost by 17. And they but they scored 14 points in that fourth quarter. And I kind of feel like that was actually the quarter that has started kind of the resurgence of Utah State football.
Yeah.
And of course, the famous Utah State fan throwing the double birds. You remember that?
Yeah.
How can you forget it? So this week we're really excited because we have the opportunity to have Eric Franson on our show. And we had an interview with him, and have a listen. Excited to have Eric Franson from KVNU up in Logan. Eric is involved with a show called Aggie Call, right? It's the post-game show. So after the games, the fans call in and talk to Eric. So he's got a good idea of what's going on up there in Logan. So welcome to CougarCast, Eric.
Thanks for coming on, Eric.
Hey, thanks, guys. My pleasure.
So, Eric, let's get things started. Utah State, you know, they just came off a big game against San Jose State. They won 40-12 out there. What's the attitude coming in this week up there?
Well, I think that fans were frustrated after what happened at USC. They felt like that was an opportunity for Utah State to really make a name for themselves and win on the road against a big opponent. And they felt like the offense could do more than what they did. And I think Utah State players felt the same way, and they took it out on San Jose. And it was a similar situation as to what happened a year ago after Utah State felt they could have done more at BYU. The following week was at San Jose, and Utah State blew them up last year, too. So it'll be really interesting going into this Friday as Utah State has the big rivalry game. But the big thing is not so much the emotion and just the competitive nature of the game, but I think the other big story for Utah State is injuries are starting to creep up. They've been really lucky so far this year in being healthy at key positions. But here within the last two games, they've had a couple of injuries pop up, and I think they'll still be okay, but it's just starting to catch up to them a little bit, so I think that's going to be a big factor coming into Friday.
So the fans up in Logan, do they look at this game against BYU as more important, or the game against Utah? Which game matters more to the people in Logan?
Oh, that's a good question. Because I think they get up for both of the games. They get excited for both of them. But I think, generally speaking, in my observation of fans in Logan, with those versus those two teams, the attitude tends to be I'm trying to find the right words to say it, but the Utah State fans get up more for the BYU game than they do for the Utah game. I think there's more emotion on the line versus BYU than there is for Utah.
That's what I thought. I just wanted to hear it from someone who knew.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't. I have a hard time explaining that, but I think that's been pretty clear to me in my observation of Aggie fans, is that they will talk more about the things that, you know, the games against BYU and what went right or what went wrong than they will against the games the Utes. So I think that there's a different level of emotional investment in the BYU series than there is against the Utah one.
Hey, you can't explain your emotions. If you have them, they're real. You can't fault those.
No, that's true. True.
So you know, Utah State, they must be feeling the trick onside kick against the Utes, a missed field goal against USC. I mean, they've had really close and tough losses this year. That must obviously be something that's weighing on the minds of the fans up there.
It is. You know, over the last couple of seasons here, Utah State has only five losses, and of those five losses, none were more than a touchdown, by more than a touchdown. That's a combined, 13 points. So if Utah State is going to lose a game, it's going to be a close one, and it's going to tear your heart out. That's just the way it's been the last couple of years. And it's so frustrating. But at the same time, there's been a lot of wins that Utah State has been able to put together that have been kind of close that you thought, well, maybe they didn't deserve to win that game, but we'll take it anyway. So they're so close to being at that next level. And it just, there's been a few just little things that creep into it the last minute, seems like. It cost them the game in some of these really big games.
And BYU is two of those. And in both games, as you said, they came down to the wire. BYU won a close games. And what has surprised me is that Chucky Keaton has played pretty poorly against BYU the last 2 years. He had a couple picks.
Yeah, so that's a big topic of conversation in Provo, is that Chucky, you know, he hasn't played that well against BYU. Last year, 22-38, 202 yards, no touchdowns, a pick. Year before, 13-25 for 122 yards and a couple touchdowns. And so that's kind of part of the narrative down here. And so there's a lot of people wondering, why would you believe that Chucky's suddenly going to do something different against this BYU defense?
Well, and I think that's a fair question to ask. You look at games where Chucky Keaton particularly has gone up against a physical front, an aggressive physical front, and he has struggled. That happened against Utah a little bit earlier this year. It happened at BYU last year. It happened at Wisconsin last year. It happened at USC this year. The games where he has struggled, it's been against strong, aggressive front seven. And where he, I don't know if it just gets in his head, where the speed of the defense is getting to him. Because he's had games where he's been knocked around a little bit, but he still has pretty good composure and can deliver the ball fine. But, if that is his one weakness, that's it.
And don't get me wrong, BYU fans, I mean, we're nervous about Keaton for sure. I think we tell ourselves that to make ourselves feel better, that, hey, that he's struggled against us the last couple of years. I'm also wondering, I mean, are the media, do they bring up to him his struggles against BYU, and or does he talk about that, or maybe that's kind of motivation for him going into this game?
He is aware of it. I can guarantee you that. It's something that is discussed. You know, his coach, his head coach, was his former quarterback's coach and then his offensive coordinator. So he's got a good relationship with the head coach and pointing those things out. And Coach Wells is pretty quick to point out the conversations that he has with Chucky about, yeah, even though he's had some good games, there are a lot of things that he still needs to improve upon. And this is still a player that plays with a lot of confidence, And there, you can maybe point to some other reasons in some of those other games why Chucky himself has struggled, but there are some things that he himself, you could tell, struggles a little bit. But I think that kind of weighs on his mind, and I think he's kind of tired of it and is waiting for that opportunity to break out and say, yeah, I am better than this, and after what happened at USC particularly, to see how much he's learned from that and will be able to overcome it or go play through it or find ways to get around that.
And I was looking at it, and, you know, USC and BYU have similar kind of defensive identities as well as stats just on the year. So I think he's going to get somewhat of a similar look from USC. They probably have – not probably. They definitely have better corners than what BYU's showing. BYU may have better outside linebacker than they have, right? So it's an interesting deal. I guess what I want to ask you, though, on that is, you know, he's a senior. This is his last shot at the Y.
He's actually a junior.
Oh, is he a junior? Oh, my gosh.
Feels like he's
my heart
forever,
just sunk. Oh, no. Yeah. He's only a junior. Holy cow. Well, you've watched him now for, what, almost 2.5 years now. You know, how good is this kid? And you and I on Twitter had a quick conversation about, is he the greatest quarterback to ever step up on campus there in Logan?
Yeah, I think he certainly has the potential to do that. Is he right now? You can have a pretty good debate about some of the other quarterbacks that have worn Utah State jerseys over the years, but I look at what he has accomplished, and you know, he only played half a season his freshman year, and so he had a full season last year and went 11-2, and he's off to a great start again this year with a few little bumps in the road, but by the time he's done, he will go down as the greatest quarterback without question. If he comes back for a senior year, and I think he will. I think the USC game pretty much stamped the fact that he will be here for another year. But, you know, I think that he is a total package. He can beat you on the run. He can beat you in the throw game. He's pretty cool. There are some times where maybe he gets a little rattled against, like we said, the aggressive defensive fronts. But, you know, he started out as a scrambling quarterback that could throw in short situations. But over time, he's really worked on his throwing motion and his ability to check down and make his reads downfield, and he's become more and more of a true passing quarterback. And as that continues to improve this season, it's been really fun to watch. And I think he will go down as the greatest quarterback at Utah State.
How much is the injury to the right guard, Wimpy? How much is that going to hurt the Utah State offense?
I think it hurts him a little bit because that offensive line had been a cohesive unit for years. I mean, those guys had a lot of starts together. His twin brother's also on the line, and they were a great, solid group. But the fact of the matter is that they've had some opportunity this year to get up early on some teams and get those second unit, even third unit guys in there for a lot of reps. So they have had some backups with some more opportunity to learn in games, to figure things out. I know Wimpy's really broken up over missing this week particularly. He's a Utah County guy.
Right.
But there's been some opportunities for some other guys to step in, and he's going to get exposed to see how good he is, how good he is at filling in that spot this Friday, being the new guy. But it's not like he's coming in totally cold out of the blue. He's had some time to get some reps with the other guys.
And he's got a challenge there, in my opinion. Manu Maliuna may be one of the very best defensive tackles to ever play at BYU. And he's been incredible this year. I've been very impressed with his play. So he certainly has a big challenge.
Yes, yeah. I mean, if anybody on that offensive line had a tall task ahead of him, it would be that position. And now you're getting a guy that's – he's had some reps, but he's not the starter, and you don't have the starter there, then that's going to be a point of attack for the BYU defense, I would assume.
So
if I was drawing it up, that's what I'd do.
Yeah, definitely. And we're proud of our defense as fans here, and I think especially our linebackers. And what I think a lot of BYU fans don't realize are how good Utah State's linebackers are. I don't know how well you follow kind of both teams, but if you had to choose a linebacking core, which team do you think has the better linebacking core?
Boy, as a core, that's a great question. As it's currently constituted, who will play on Friday? because BYU has some guys, or at least one guy, that won't be there.
Yeah, well, no, so since Hadley's gone, no, as it's currently constituted.
Well, you know, Van Noy does so many things for BYU, and there's other linebackers that are there that are pretty good that have stepped up. And I have to admit, I haven't watched as many games with that BYU squad as mm-hmm. I have with Utah State. I'm more familiar with the Aggies. But I think as a group, you know, Utah State doesn't have a Kyle Van Noy guy. Kyler Fackrell might be that next year.
He's good.
His senior year if he sticks around. But I think as a group, the Utah State linebacker group has really been impressive. And that's really been kind of the unheralded hallmark of the Utah State defense the last 3 or 4 years. That they've always had a really good group of linebackers. And just they're very mobile. They know how to apply pressure at the right time, but they can also drop back. Kyler Fackrell actually is playing both ways at times.
Yeah,
so
tight end,
it's
right?
A pretty good group.
So, and one of the things that obviously BYU has struggled with is passing this year. In particular, if any team, if their secondary can put any sort of pressure and do some press coverage, that seems to really, really bother our passing. Is that a skill set or something that Utah State generally does? Do they like to press, or do they have that ability?
They do have that ability, and they've gone up against some really good wide receivers. And at times they've had to been put on an island because they've got to stop a very strong run game. And because of that, they've still been able to do pretty well. Up against USC, Marquise Lee, one of the best wide receivers in the country.
He's fantastic.
Really minimized what he could do. And also at times they'll bring those corners on corner blitzes or safety blitzes from the secondary. So it's there were some question marks. How would Utah State secondary look since Will Davis was gone to the NFL? And they had some problems at the Utah game that got exposed. But they've been working on those things, getting their assignments right and their eyes right, as the coaches like to say. And they have improved. I think the really big test was last Friday against San Jose State, a team that likes to throw the ball around to some really good wide receivers. And the Aggies pretty well defended them and shut them down.
Yeah. No, they played an excellent game last week. And Taysom hopefully took a step forward against Middle Tennessee State. So that'll be an interesting matchup. Okay, last thing I wanted to hit on with you. Passing-wise, BYU's secondary is pretty vulnerable defensively when a team can throw downfield and outside of the numbers. Not necessarily like post routes to the inside. So it's got to stay to the outside. I think Chucky can throw them. Do the Aggies have a receiver that can really bother the Cougar secondary in that way?
Good question. They've had some plays where they'll stretch the field like that, and they have some players that have developed over the last couple of weeks. Travis Reynolds is one who's had a good couple of games here. JoJo Natson, they use him a lot on the inside game because he's so short, he kind of gets lost in all the mayhem. But he's also one of the guys that has the most playmaking ability after he catches the ball. And also Ronald Butler is another guy that's kind of emerging. The wide receiver core for Utah State is developing. I think as a unit, it's a little bit better than it was last year. But on the edges, Travis Van Leeuwen, he's got the height and the size, and not so much the speed, but he's been able to make some big plays.
I like him.
And Brandon Swindle also has been able to stretch things on the edges as well, just because of his height. So that will be interesting to see how Utah State goes after those corners, because even though they're not very experienced and they've had to fill some holes there for BYU, they've done a pretty decent job of limiting some of the big passing plays. You guys correct me if I'm wrong.
They've been burned a few times, but you're right. In general, they've done a pretty good job. And that's our safeties. That's why, you can't come across. It's outside the numbers, right? Craig Bills, Daniel Sorensen, they aren't letting passes go down deep down the middle of the field. It's just not going to happen with those two back there.
But, hey, you've brought some great insight. And we're already – I mean, any BYU fan would be lying if they said they weren't nervous about this game. Like, the fact that we're – the underdog in Vegas and stuff is a different situation for us here. Just in closing, I mean, what keys to the game do you see that are going to make or break this? And let's hear them from the Aggie side. You know that better than we do. What are you looking for out of the Aggies to win this game?
Well, I think they're running game for both sides. Can Utah State slow down the BYU running attack in Taysom Hill? And now I guess Jamal is going to be available. So two very big weapons in the run game. Can the defense hold them and slow them down? Can the Utah State defense force Taysom to try to beat them in the passing game? And I think those are the two biggest keys defensively for Utah State. Offensively, can USU develop their own running game? To have the real success that they want to have, they need to establish that running game, and that's something that they've struggled against BYU in the past. They've got some guys that are decent running backs, but they're not Kerwin Williams, they're not Robert Turbin or Michael Smith, so at least not yet. And so that's going to be a big challenge for the Aggies to develop a solid running game to get some pressure off Chucky, but also to keep the BYU defense a little bit honest. So I think those are probably my three big keys for the Aggies to develop a run game of their own, slow the BYU running attack, and then force Taysom to try to beat him in the passing game. So I think that if that can be accomplished, it's going to be a fun game in Logan. Well, I think it's going to be a fun game regardless. And to be honest, you brought up the Vegas line. I think that's a little high. I think it'll be less than that. I think it'll be a three-point game. It's going to come down to some play at the end of maybe a turnover or a missed special teams assignment, and it's going to be a close game. I think it'll be a barn burner.
We're excited for it. We appreciate you coming on. You got the Aggies or the Cougars taking it, if you had to gun to your head?
Sorry, say that again?
Who do you got taking the game?
Well, I've got Utah State winning this one. I don't think there's going to be a lot of points scored. I don't know if it's going to be like last year. I think there'll be a few more points than what we saw last time. But I think if somebody gets to 21, I'd be shocked.
Cool. Well, hey, thanks again for coming on. You were great.
And again, this is Eric Franson. Follow him on Twitter at efranson. And he's on KVNU in Logan, the home of Kyle Van Noy's University. That's what KVNU stands for, right?
Yeah, very clever. Very clever.
Home of the Aggies, KVNU. Thank you so much for coming on.
All right, thanks, guys.
Okay, and again, thanks to Eric for coming on the show. Really enjoyed his insights in the game. What were the biggest surprises or things that kind of caught your attention in talking with him?
I mean, just I like that, just to get reaffirmed that the Aggie fan base cares a lot more about this BYU game than I think some of us realize. That it means a lot. It means more to them than the Utah game, like you said. And just did you notice how hard of a time? And he never gave us a total answer on which linebacking core he thinks is better. And if anything, he led more towards Utah State's.
Well, he did give credit that they don't have a guy like KVN.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that was his big thing.
But they're dang good. And Aggie fans are proud of their linebackers, and I think BYU fans don't realize that.
Well, and I think they're as advertised, man. I think they're good. I know that they've dropped a couple games, but they were really close. You know, they were on the road. Tough places to go get a win. Right? It's not like we've beaten a Pac-12 team this year either.
That's true.
Both their losses came against Pac-12 opponents. So so for this weekend, I think we're going to cover more about the Utah State game. But as a quick review, let's talk Middle Tennessee State. So what was your big takeaway from the Middle Tennessee State game?
I think what most fans were watching going into this game was Taysom Hill's completion percentage and if he had fixed his accuracy woes.
Uh-huh.
And I came away from the game
thinking, Ross Appo has a pulse.
Yeah. I think people are overblowing that. The guy had a normal receiver game, and everyone's like, Oppo's back. Like, yeah, he caught the ball and then got tackled a few times.
Well,
like,
and every single one of them was a 6-yard hitch.
Yeah,
every single catch he made was a 6-yard hitch. So
I'm glad, like you said, he has a pulse, but I'm not ready to be all celebrating. Oppo's back, like
6-yard hitches with a 12-yard cushion. Like, come on, like.
But back to Hill. That's what I took away from it. A, I wish they would have thrown more. Everyone knew we could run against Middle
Tennessee
State. They
should have thrown more.
Throw more. Get Hill some confidence.
Part of that, though, is Taysom would set back to the throw, and then he'd run.
Yeah, but it's hard to fault him for that because when he's getting the yards per carry that he is.
He did run all over their faces. It's true.
But all that being said, when he threw, I was really pleased with his accuracy. It's his best throwing game of his career from an accuracy standpoint.
So does he only know one way to throw?
What do you mean? Hard?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he has no
touch. There's no touch to this guy.
Yeah. Totally.
You know, like the whole beauty of like John Beck or Detmer or some of these guys, right, is that we'll see where the receiver is in between a linebacker and the safety, and they're going to just put it right over the top of that linebacker and drop it right down. And there's none of that happening with Taysom Hill.
No, and maybe I think that is something you can develop. The fact that accuracy issues are what I worry about, how well you can develop those. So that's what pleased me from this game.
It's been a while since we've had a guy that could do that. Even Max wasn't really a touch guy.
No. So what I
Beck was the last guy we had who could throw a touch pass. That's crazy.
After the Utah game, how you were wanting, you know, to see some Ammon Olsen, has your mind changed to that at all?
Listen, I don't know why everyone's so jacked about Taysom Hill. Yeah, okay. Fabulous. He started the game 8 for 9, right? 8 for 9 and over 100 yards, no picks, no touchdown. Wow, he started the game 8 for 9. Woo! Right? Riley Nelson started a game 8 for 9 last year against Idaho, right? But we all were still crucifying that guy because he couldn't throw.
So, I agree. I think
he had all the time in the world.
Which he's not going to see that much time again.
Okay. And he was against probably what will be, other than when we play Idaho, is it Idaho State? Idaho State?
I don't know. One of those.
Idaho. When we play them, besides them, this is the slowest secondary he's going to face the remainder of the year. And he could still only muster 14 for 19 for, what, 177 and a pick.
Percentage-wise, he was throwing and hitting guys in the numbers, and that's what I take away from it, is he hadn't been doing that so far this year.
Okay.
Even his pick hit the
But he won't have time like that again.
So if he comes out this Friday, he throws a 50% plus completion percentage again, and they win, are you eating crow at that point and saying, I'm sorry, Taysom,
no,
you are the man?
No, completion for me, the percentage of completion is an important component of it. Like, obviously, you're going to have to check down and stuff. But I'd like to see him push. He's got to be plus 250, pushing 300 yards passing and at least a touchdown, for heaven's sakes. I know what he is as a passer. I'm still going to be hard on him because I feel like I know what he is as a passer. He's got one mode, throw hard, right? And
throw hard, throw fast.
Throw hard. he's got one mode throwing, and I think that only allows him, to kind of handle some of the shorter passes. Okay, I know he completed a 31-yard pass to Mitch Matthews, but that pass was into double coverage. Like, I don't think he should have thrown it. That's number one. But two, okay, you completed it. That's fine. But I think most secondaries would have handled that throw, right? And also, it was quite a play by Mitch Matthews to bring in that ball.
Agreed. And that's – we were expecting plays from him like that all season. Hopefully, that kicks him off. Back to Taysom, though.
Now, you can't take away the 18 rushes for 165 yards and a couple touchdowns. I mean,
yeah.
I feel like we got guys that can run it anyway. I don't think we lose that much if
I feel like we can. I'm on the Taysom bandwagon. Like, if I think we can build a great team around Taysom's skill set. Is it the traditional BYU passing team? No.
Well, I don't think you can win big games with Taysom Hill.
I just look at.
I think you can get out and you might be able to get to six this year, six or seven, and playing a bowl game. And I think that's about what you can expect if Taysom Hill's your quarterback.
This year, but I don't think we give up on him because of what he could turn into in the future. I look at Kansas State and what they did with their tight end playing quarterback last year.
Yeah.
Klein, is that his name?
Colin Klein, yeah.
And then Tebow is.
Well, Tebow always was good, though.
but his throwing, he was never a good thrower. The guy was a playmaker.
He was a better thrower than Taysom Hill.
And then there's other guys.
He won the Heisman. You don't win the Heisman unless you are a good thrower.
He was a playmaker. And I think
Taysom. He didn't turn the ball over. He didn't throw picks. Taysom's good for one pick a game.
The reason I go Klein first is because Tebow is a little bit different in that Tebow's supporting cast was better than anyone else's in college football supporting cast.
Sure.
Kansas State didn't have that supporting cast. They had a dominant running quarterback who was a playmaker. I think as Taysom gets more confidence, his accuracy this last game gave me hope. I almost wonder if it's more of an Anai thing that he needs to build our offense around Taysom's strengths. But where I'll leave it is that I just think he needs more time.
Okay.
I'm not a guy that if he stinks it up for the next several games in a row that I'm just going to ride that till it's dead. But let's just give him more time. I think the hope is still there.
And that's fine. And a lot of people, you know, though, when they brought in Ammon Olsen at the end of the game, they didn't let him throw. And I think there was a very specific reason why they didn't let him do that. 100%
agree with you. Because if he goes out there and starts throwing the ball around and lighting it up, then they don't want to feed that
Even fire. If there's just a couple passes where it's like, oh, look at that, 20-yard post route. Laid it nicely in there.
Oh, he can do it. He's a thrower. That's his. He's a better thrower than Taysom.
So I thought that was interesting, besides the fact that Algernon Brown was just running like a maniac. But it's an interesting deal, and I think for me, I just don't anticipate him getting that much better as a passer. He'll improve. Like, of course he'll improve, but I don't know if he'll ever improve to the point where you would feel confident with him as your quarterback against a top 25 opponent. So that's where I'm at on Taysom. I hope he proves me wrong. Right?
I hope he proves you wrong this year.
I'm just telling you that I don't see that happening. I stated it last time, but John Beck is like the only guy since 2000 who's ever started a little bit slow and then improved.
And I think that we might be unfair as BYU fans because we've been so we've had passing quarterbacks, and that's the only way we've won. So I think we need to look out of the BYU box, and there has been quarterbacks that have won big games and a heck of a lot of games that could throw not as good as Taysom, and he's as good as athlete as any quarterback out there.
No, they could all throw better than him. What are you talking about?
Crouch.
Crouch could throw. He was a Klein. Heisman Trophy winner.
Yeah, right with his legs.
Klein.
With his legs.
Was a Heisman Trophy candidate. He went to the thing, man.
I think even Oregon's had some quarterbacks over the years that were.
That's closer. Like Dennis Dixon.
Yeah.
But he could throw too. And guess what? He was a Heisman guy. So I'm just telling you, that all these guys. That we're bringing up are kind of the top end. There's a lot of teams that have gone with running quarterback and have seen some success with it. Here's my example. How about the guy at Navy that could run really well, but he couldn't throw worth a lick, right?
Or how about Denard Robinson? Like, I think...
Yeah, that's closer, yeah. So, and you can do a little bit better there, but what happened to Denard when he played big games?
They moved him to running back.
Okay. He lost. So I'm just saying, I know what he is as a passer. I feel like I know what he is as a passer.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm at. And I hope he proves me wrong. You also had complaints about who we've decided to lean on as our running back.
Yeah. Williams obviously is our best playmaker. And I was glad the coaches made – I mean, I shouldn't say best playmaker in the running back core. I'm glad the
and
coaches –
And he'll be back.
Yeah. But I'm worried, man, when you get dinged up like he got dung up, is his head still having issues or mentally? Is he going to be the tough, just put your head in there, running back he was before? But what I'm really wanting to talk about is why is Elisa our feature back once Williams goes down?
He's had a couple good games.
Like 2 years ago.
Yeah, the Oregon State game on the road.
And that's what I think he's living off of, and I think it's kind of coming back to, and don't get me wrong.
It's sort of like Brian Kariya. Brian Kariya had the awesome game against Oklahoma.
And he lived the rest of his career off
That's correct, yeah.
And I like Elisa. He switched from defense to offense. He was there when...
Were they both Tim Few guys?
I know Elisa is. Kariya, I don't know.
Okay, anyway. I just would think that that would be interesting. Anyway.
And you know, the guy's tough. He's done whatever BYU's asked him to do. But I think that's why he's playing him. It's another grit situation in my mind.
Uh-huh.
And the stats would back that he's had the lowest yards per carry out of our backs for the last several games in a row.
All right, so I'm not against it, right?
Even Lasique, so, let's put him as the feature.
So you would have Lasique be your feature?
Or Algernon Brown.
Okay.
Or Hine before he got hurt.
Yeah.
But that was what was really frustrating me. The guy's dynamic on kick returns.
Yeah.
He's got a burst.
And can he catch? I mean, he's catching kickoffs, so he ought to be able to catch.
And so Elisa,
why not a little slot from Adam Hine?
Plays so hard, but he has no burst. And Hine, yeah, let's
use. What about bubble screens with Adam Hine?
Yeah.
Woo!
The guy's got great vision.
That could be pretty cool.
He's got a burst and vision. We need to find ways to get him the ball more. And so this is not so much of a thing against Elisa as much as I think we have some of the most talented backs.
There's just other guys there
that we've had in a while.
One of the things I had the thought of is you know, it's interesting. At this point, I don't feel like they're – like pretty much anybody could get hurt on this team unless it's like one of the super-duper stars like Manu Maliuna or KVN. But I feel like we could probably just replace any spot at this point. Does that make sense? Like, I mean, yeah.
Robertson Daniel. That's who I'd put as the number one. We would get hurt the most if he got.
If he wasn't
if
there.
If he went down.
Hmm.
Not that he's at an elite level, but.
once he's gone, it's already.
Behind him.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, and I can buy into that. All right. So that's where we were last week. Before we get into next week, we're going to get into our segment that we like to call 10 for Tosh. All right, 10 for Tosh. If you're new to the show, rapid fire questions for Tosh McIntosh. He hasn't heard these questions before, and his goal is to try to answer them as accurately as possible. Question number one. According to the latest issue of ESPN the magazine, Lavelle Edwards Stadium was ranked 24th in home field advantage. Overrated, underrated, or properly rated?
Properly rated. I think there's bigger stadiums out there, but... And we do have a lot of old fans, so we should be louder. But when you mix that with elevation, Lavelle Edwards Stadium is a tough, fun place to play.
Altitude, baby. Number two. A lot has been made of the attendance against Middle Tennessee, only being 58,763. That was the official number. It was probably even less than that.
Yeah.
Compared to what the stadium can hold of 63,725, are you disappointed? Is it a big deal?
No. I mean, when we play weak teams and we've lost two heartbreaking games, it's late, it was cold. I was impressed we got as big of a fan base as we do, given those circumstances. All we need is, it's all about winning.
The bigger part is that The Rock didn't fill up.
Yeah, that was surprising.
Students aren't showing up. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, is it a Friday night, date night situation? Or?
Yeah, but you have tickets to the game.
Yeah, no, I was there, so.
All right, number three. Ethan Manu Maliuna, for my money, has been the best defensive player this year. With guys like Kyle Van Noy and Daniel Sorensen on the team, am I crazy?
No, you're not crazy. The guy is a beast. I think that he gets drafted and surprises a lot of BYU fans and has an NFL career. And the more I see him play, the more that I think Bronco wasn't a complete idiot by not playing Ziggy. Like, everyone was talking about how he can't see talent because Ziggy wasn't playing, but because Ethan is a beast.
He's awesome. He's awesome. Number four, Manu Maliuna, Romney Fuga, Hebron Fangupo, Russell Tialavea, and Ian Doolin. Is defensive tackle the most consistent position in the Bronco era?
Yeah, it's tough, but I'd go linebacker.
Which spot? Middle? Outside?
Okay, so I'm trying to take the vague. Let's go outside. And then we put Keel in the NFL, Dixon in the NFL.
Nixon,
yeah.
Yeah.
And then, I mean,
and
Kyle
KVN.
Van Noy.
Yeah.
And Spencer Hadley's got a good shot at the NFL, and he's really an outside linebacker.
Okay.
So.
All right. Number five. What does beating Utah State mean to you?
It means that I'm not embarrassed to be the third best team in the state of Utah.
All right. Number six. Would you rather beat Utah State in basketball or football?
In years past, I would have said just basketball was the only challenge, but I think there's more for us to lose if we lose in football, so I'm going to go football.
All right. And let's see here. If Wild, number seven, if Wild Bill were skinny, would he have ever become popular?
No, no. There's just something about fat guys are funnier, especially.
Farley, like Farley's the greatest SNL guy ever, right?
And a skinny guy who takes his shirt off, like that doesn't get laughs. But a fat guy,
I don't know if he's super skinny,
you know, like yeah. No, part of his thing is his weight. He wouldn't be the same without his weight.
Okay, so
how old is that? That guy...
I have no idea how old he is.
He must have graduated a while ago.
But the pressure must be on him. He's like, oh gosh, like I'm full after six pieces of pizza, but I got to eat the next two. I got to stay funny. Okay, number eight. Is this run of good football for Utah State due to a run of talented players like Bobby Wagner, Robert Turbin, Chucky Keaton... Or is Utah State now an established program?
I'm going to go with the first one. It's players. They've had good recruiters, and it's not going to last. I think within 3 years, they're back to the Utah State we always thought they were.
Okay. Number nine. Cody Hoffman has 228 receiving yards against Utah State in his career. The all-time record for receiving yards in a career against Utah State belongs to Micah Matsuzaka. He had 302 yards in his career, making Cody Hoffman just 75 yards away from breaking that record. Will he break the record this weekend?
Yeah, he's my breakout player to the
game. He's got to get 75 yards.
He's going to get over 100.
Over 100.
He's elite. And he hasn't had a breakout game yet. I think with him sitting out, he's got a lot to prove to his teammates.
All right. He's got good corners to go against, so it's a really big... he'll have to do a good job.
He's going over 100.
Okay, last one. Number 10. How important is getting a win for BYU this Friday?
Huge. That being said, it's not as big as the Notre Dame game or Wisconsin, something that gets us a lot more national. But I think the psyche of our players, coaches, athletic administration, if we lose to Utah State, then I think there's going to be a staff shuffling again at the end of the season. Like, we can't lose to both in-state teams.
Last time they lost to Utah State, Jaime Hill was fired immediately afterwards.
Exactly. Yeah, there's precedent there. So, we don't like losing to Utah State.
So, I don't know. Who do you fire? They're not going to fire anybody.
I don't know.
You can't get rid of a Nye.
Not during the season.
Yeah,
I think after the season, there'd be some slight shuffle. I'm not saying heads would roll or need to roll, but I just think that it makes the coaches and the ADs really uncomfortable, and they're not used to being the third best team in the state. I don't think they are, and I don't think that's going to happen.
Okay.
But it worries me. I'll give you that.
So it's a big, important game for BYU. I feel like if they don't get this game, goodbye bowl game. I think they're done. That's it. No more bowl game this year.
Yeah.
Those hopes are over. So I think this is a really big game for BYU. So quickly, let's talk a little Utah State in this game. We had a nice preview there with Eric Franson from KVNU. For you, what are your keys to this game? For BYU,
running back play. In that we know Hill's going to get his yard. He's got his running yards every game. He's going to run. The question mark to me is how is Williams going to be playing like a playmaker? And I think more from a mental standpoint, is he going to be the playmaker that he's been? That decides the game, because if he's making plays and our running back core is making plays, it's going to open up the wide receivers. It means that they have to bite on the read option. That's the key to the game for me, is our running backs getting loose and making plays. What are you looking at?
Mine is, I think it's actually, this game for me is the offense has got to figure out how to be strong in the red zone.
How do you do that?
Well, you don't fumble, I'll tell you that much. You don't fumble the twice inside the 5-yard line. That's killer instinct stuff. There isn't enough of a killer instinct. Like I've said, we're a wonderful team if the purpose of the game is to go from the 20 to the 20. They're awesome in that way. They need to figure out how to get it into the end zone. Taysom completed a pass in the red zone again, so now he's up to, I think he's 3-for-16 in the red zone passing this year. And they just can't fumble. They got to hang on to the ball. They got to run tough. Utah State's run D is pretty solid. So once they get their opportunities, they've really got to take their opportunities. It was the problem against Utah. They didn't take as many opportunities as they should have against Middle Tennessee.
Yeah. I mean, what BYU fans point to and is that we've outgained every one of our opponents. But the sad thing, we're not very efficient with our yards of turning those into points.
Yeah. So, and I think they are top 20, like, in total offense this year. So,
because of my man Hill.
Running. His running. Yeah. And I think that they ought to figure out ways to really convert in the red zone. So that's the biggest thing, is every time you're in the red zone, you got to come away with points and preferably touchdowns. So if Utah State can hold BYU to field goals, that's going to be a real problem.
And I'm going to give a second thing to watch, unsolicited, is they need to get to Chucky Keaton. That's been our key to our success, is we've roughed him up.
Yep.
Last year, Ziggy was living in their backfield.
He was.
And just chasing that guy down. That was my most favorite game of Ansa, is I knew how dynamic and fast Keaton was, and Ziggy was making him look slow, just running him down.
Ziggy is crazy. But
we don't have him. And so this year, we need our linebacking core, and Kafusi can kind of run guys down, but really we need our linebackers to be living in their backfield, roughing that guy up, hitting him, and that's where
Fua. I mean, Alani Fua has got to play big in this game. In my mind, I think you, after watching last week, you just can't let Kyle Van Noy do that stuff.
No.
And I think as an O-line, you've got to figure out, you've got to get somebody on him every time. And so I think, I don't know, I think that this game comes down to KVN, Wanayunga. Yeah, I'm with you. But Wanayunga and Alani Fua, they've got to play really big. And then, of course, Beck is hurt, so we've got yet another guy. So now we got a third-string middle linebacker.
He may play. I think Jorgensen is really playing.
And he played pretty well anyway. Yeah, Jorgensen played pretty well.
What's your score prediction?
Okay, so I hate doing this, man, but I like Utah State in this game.
All right, give me a reason why and a score.
24, Utah 24, BYU 17. I like to bet on experienced, successful quarterbacks in their home stadium. And I think he's seen several really good defenses that are pretty comparable to what BYU presents. USC, Utah, those have been a couple teams that have presented a similar look defensively. And I think that for me... you know, if he gets beat up again a third time and it doesn't happen, then you know, the blueprint is absolutely written on Chucky Keaton. But that guy's a competitor. He plays hard. I respect him so much. And so personally, I think that Chucky's going to figure it out. He's at home. And I have a sense that he's successful. He's experienced. I like betting on guys like that.
Yeah. Everything you say is accurate. I just look at from a mental standpoint, and it's hard to really describe why, but I think we're in their heads. Mm-hmm. In almost the same way that I feel Utah is in our players' heads.
Yeah.
Where this game, I expect our guys to come out loose, just making plays. I think losing the Utah game has actually taken some of the pressure off. Now, they have nothing to lose. They're the underdogs in this game.
Yeah.
That's going to bother them. I feel like Utah State's going to play up tight. Their fans care about this game so much. They've been hearing about this all week, where BYU fans, they're not getting
We want to win, State but it's pressure. Not. Yeah, it's not. No.
And so I look for...
It's one of those things. If we beat Utah State, it's like, okay, well, all right, fine. If we lose, woo!
Yeah.
The meltdown. It's going to be worse than any other night of the year. I mean, I'm telling you, it'll be worse than the night we lost to Utah, the meltdown.
Yeah, I think we're winning. We're going to win 17-10.
Okay, 17-10. Whew. Defensive battle. That's all a grind again.
And Hill runs for 100 yards, passes.
If that situation manifests itself, the defense has played a perfect game. Right?
17-10.
No more dropped interception opportunities. No more. I mean, before Daniel Sorensen caught his pick in the end zone, we had dropped 8 straight interceptions.
Yeah, our safeties are in the right position all the time, and it's it's kind of like what I play a little bit of NCAA football in, on the PS3, and those announcers always – If you ever drop a pick, it's no wonder these guys play on defense. And
there's a reason they're on the defensive side of the ball.
And I have that run through my head every single time I see our safeties get in the perfect position and just drop the ball.
Well,
but there's a reason those guys are playing defense.
You know, the great Marshall Faulk, if you're an athlete, you catch. And so I think they got to make those plays. And so, yeah, under those circumstances, and the defense pretty much against Middle Tennessee had a perfect game. BYU is going to have to get a play on special teams, and then the defense has got to play perfect, and then the offense has got to convert when they get opportunities. So, and you know, so that'll be all a really interesting thing for us. Okay, Bronco Fireside Talk for this week. And remember what's coming this weekend, why we're playing on Friday. Physical trials are followed by prophetic guidance. a reason to hate the University of Utah, Tosh.
Utah State. You know, I got a lot
for the UU, but Utah State.
I just have not really forgotten. I know I should forgive people, but I remember the way their fans treated Brandon Davies.
Yeah.
And so that's my that's my ulterior motive why I want our team just to crush.
Okay, so win
weekend.
It for Davies. All right, yeah. I can go with that. I was going to even say, even though they've lost the last two seasons, if you talk to Aggie fans, it's like they won last year.
Yeah.
So they did win in 2010. It was the first time since 92 that they had done so. BYU's won 12 of the last 13 years. And yet, if you talk to Utah State fans today, they act like it's a 50-50 rivalry. Right?
Yeah.
And then they always say, well, live in the moment. You bring up 12 of the last 13 years. Oh, well, are you going to bring up the 1984 championship? And I'll say, no, but I'll bring up last year.
Yeah.
And the year before.
we gotta do it again.
So, but yeah, anyway, so they kind of act like that. Last thing, just as a random thing, if you go to the game or if you see it on TV, if Utah State fans, if they're doing the Scotsman, and if you don't know what that is, it's the thing there. They move their arms in the stands. They kind of do a thing, but while they're doing it, they do a move kind of like what we do for our defense when the Darth Vader song is played.
Yeah.
But they kind of do this thing, and it always reminds me of the Bushwhackers, Luke and Butch.
Back in WWF.
Yeah. Early 90s, middle 90s tag team in the WWF. We're never tag team champions.
Mm. And so let's hope that these fans will not see a victory
as
well.
They will never see that as well. And honestly, they kind of remind me of Luke and Butch. Going around licking each other's head.
They love farming and agriculture. And
anyway, okay, that's our show for this week. Hopefully you've enjoyed it. Follow us on Twitter at CougarCast and at Lehigh Roller for Tosh. Also, Cougar Board, you can find us posting around there a couple times a day.
Yeah, at least.
And with that, enjoy the game on Friday, and don't forget to there's a reason it's being played on Friday, so make sure you tune in for conference as well. Take care of yourselves.